Welcome to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues of fast-growing businesses. If you're a business owner or operator looking for practical tips and solutions to scaling your business in a sustainable manner, you're in the right place. Now here's your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre.
Hello, and welcome to the Business Infrastructure Curing Back Office Blues show. I'm your hostess, Alicia Butler-Pierre, and I have the distinct pleasure of being with Mr. John Camp today. John has served as the president and CEO of the Business Camp for over 10 years, located in Pleasant Hill, California. The Business Camp is a consulting firm catering to a variety of industries and customers. John holds credentials in project management through PMI International, and he is also a certified Lean Six Sigma Black Belt. John not only uses these methodologies in his consulting practice, but he is also an instructor at Purdue University and promotes a variety of educational course opportunities through his education portal, the Camp Academy. John's background is in international business, and he has been happily married for 25 years and has four children, three grandchildren, with the fourth grandchild due in late October. John left out one very important thing, the fact that he's also a U.S. Navy veteran, and his client list, and I only know this just from knowing John for several years now, but his client list really does read like a who's who of Silicon Valley. And when it comes to the topic of lean production, John and I were talking just prior to this recording, there's so much that can be said. So we are going to attempt to cover the topic of lean at really like a 50,000 foot level today. So a very broad overview just to give you a really good sense of what it is and how you can start to apply some of the principles and concepts to your small business. So be sure to download this episode and add it to your digital library, because whenever John and I get together and start talking, it's usually never less than 2 hours, but we're going to do our best today to condense this information down to 30 minutes or less. But it's really just a testament to just how knowledgeable John is and his ability to draw from his years of experience working in so many different industries, so many different types of organizations over the years. So without any further ado, John, welcome. How are you today?
I'm doing fine, Alicia, and thank you so much for having me on your show. I'm really looking forward to this.
Awesome. Now, before we dive into the topic of lean, can you first tell us what prompted you to start your small business?
Well, it was a long journey. For 25 years, I worked in the international business sector of opening new businesses and propagating the technologies of a company that wanted to make their software, the predominantly used software, in the industry. So this meant that I had to travel quite a bit. So I was traveling about 80% of the time. And what prompted me to start my small business is when I came home one day and my son, I said, "Hi, Jonathan." And he said, "Nothing," and walked right by me. And I said, "No lovin's." And why? You're just going to leave. And so I went ahead and went and tendered my resignation to the chairman of the board the next day. And by the next morning, my website was up for the Business Camp, which I thought about when I was walking out with my box of goods. And ever since then, we've just been chugging along.
Wow. It's funny how certain things can almost force you to go ahead and start your small business. So thank you for sharing that story with us. Now, getting to the topic, the big topic for today, I know personally whenever I work with a lot of my small business clients, but even larger enterprise clients as well, there tends to be so much misinformation about lean. They've heard the word, they've heard this term, but in talking to them, it's clear oftentimes that they really don't know what that is. So my first question around the topic of lean, in the spirit of myth busting, John, can you explain to us what exactly is lean? Is it a methodology? Is it just a set of tools, a set of principles? What is it, and where did it originate?
Okay, well, actually, yes, it's all the above what you just mentioned. In short, though, you know, lean is a methodology that creates an efficient process flow. You know, it's designed to eliminate non-value added waste as it corresponds to the customer's needs. That's in short. There is a lot of misconceptions about lean. There are people that have tried it, but it wasn't supported from the top. Therefore, it failed. And there's also people that believe that lean is a job killer. So we're going to go in and institute lean. And then what's going to happen to us? And that's a misconception, because what ends up happening when you're actually engaged in a lean transformation throughout the company and you're doing training with the people, which are the primary component of lean, what's happening is that these people become problem solvers, and they can be used in other areas of the business. And even better off than that, they're used in the growth of the business.
Now, as a methodology, we'll cover that part first, because we said it's part methodology, it's a collection of tools, it's a collection of principles and concepts. From the methodology perspective, is there a set pattern or way to execute lean, and how would a small business go about looking at a particular component of the business and saying, let's try to apply lean and figure out how we can make this part of our business either more efficient, more productive, or, as you just said, figuring out how to remove as much waste from a particular part of the business as possible?
Yes, for small businesses, as with large businesses, it's primarily the same methodology. What happens in a small business is people get off and running, and they are trying to do everything they can with the gifts that they have to either increase the business growth or to increase the quality that they're putting out. But lean, in short, you know, having the value of the customer in mind is the main crux of creating a flow environment, and so that you can quickly move through the processes. What I mean by flow is that you don't have any impediments in the way that could inhibit you to meet those and exceed those needs of the customer in a very expeditious way. How a company would start lean is to take a look from within. And I find this all the time when I start to work with companies. I ask them, okay, tell me about your company, and how is it you go about your regular day? And of course, I can be talking to two or three people, and they all come up with a different answer. So, and we can just start with something as easy as, how do you open in the morning to prepare for business? And those three answers, you know, I start the coffee, I do this, I do that. What ends up happening is that there is no process in place for opening to ensure that they're ready to meet the demands of the day. So as you move through and you move into the actual execution of work, it's the same thing. How do you do, WeWork, for instance, is a big company that's on the move. You know, how is it that we can go ahead and make sure that our customers are being treated as business people that they are? And what does that look like if I want to give a tour to someone? Well, in that tour, there should be a process to ensure that they've maximized all the attributes that the company has to offer. We work in this case, it offers the customer, and the customer sees the value in that. But a process in itself of that would even transcend into signing that customer up. What is it that you actually do? And what is it that's taking away your time, so to speak, within that process, which we would call waste, and not flowing with the customer? So a small business really has to look at itself and kind of diagram out, what does my day look like? And I always enjoy doing this with, you know, like I mentioned, 3 or 4, 5, 6, 7 people, because it's you'll get a quagmire of input. You'll have people that are talking about what they do in the middle of the day. You talk about, oh, no, we do this first. No, we do this now. They all have their own ways. But putting a process together, what you're able to do is you're able to put a time on that process. And also, what is the next step of that process? And basically, you're building out a process map from a 20,000-foot view that later is broken down into what we call value stream maps. And with that time frame, you will be able to identify and you will be able to take out any non-value added waste, because the customer wants what they want, when they want it, and how they want it. And with Lean, you're able to obtain that. You're able to move through the processes quickly, smoothly, and minimize the waste.
So if I'm understanding correctly, John, one of the major steps to implementing Lean in a small business would obviously the owner of the business has to be on board with what Lean is and the value that it can provide, and then have that kind of trickle or flow down and permeate throughout the rest of the company. And I'm curious, when you're interviewing employees at different companies and you're finding that they all have their own version of how a particular process works or how certain information is supposed to flow, how do you reconcile those differences and ultimately get everyone to agree on one way of doing a particular thing within a business?
Well, in Lean, it's all about continuous improvement. So whatever you are doing, you're always looking to improve that. Speaking from the management level, as the hierarchy triangle, if you would picture that, it does have to be pushed down from the top. But more so, you need to invert that triangle. So by inverting that triangle, management and the middle management and supervisory positions are all there to ensure that they remove all the impediments or anything that's going to obstruct the flow from those that are actually doing the work. And with that, people that are doing the work will be able to touch, you know, who are touching the customers, will be able to assist through what we call Gemba walks. It's where management actually goes and sees where the work is being done and formulate those plans for continuously trying to improve the process with the people doing the work, because every day they're there, they know what's going on, and if asked and respected, they will be able to tell you how to fix that. So the inverted triangle is huge. And so I would say that it is an effort that is pushed down from the top, but inverting the triangle, it's pushed up again to those that are actually touching the customer.
Got it. And that makes perfect sense. It reminds me of the television show Undercover Boss. Do you ever watch that?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
And how a lot of times these CEOs, and of course these are much bigger companies that are usually profiled, but it still illustrates the point that sometimes as owners of a business, we can get so busy and so caught up with business development type activities that we lose sight or focus of what's going on at the ground level with the people who are actually interfacing and interacting with our customers. And the more layers of management you have between yourself as the owner or the CEO and the people who are, again, at the kind of the ground level, the more difficult it is for you to really have a sense of just what's going on and just how inefficient some of your processes may actually be. I'm curious, John, so we've touched on lean overall as a methodology. When it comes to some of the actual tools, do you have any favorites that you like to use? And if so, what are those tools that you can share with us?
I do have some favorites. First of all, the audience out here is going to realize that they're using these lean tools every day and they don't even realize it. For instance, there's a tool called a Kanban. And what a Kanban means is that it is used to say, hey, it's time to replenish. So let's just take something very basic. In a Kanban, let's look at a checkbook. So you're writing checks, and you get through to the bottom of the box. And then about three-quarters of the way through, there's a little slip there that says, time to reorder. Mm-hmm. So what do? We reorder our checks. So that's a Kanban. So now I have to replenish my supply. Another great tool we call Pokyoke is, which means mistake proofing. And we see mistake proofing going on all over, from anywhere from when, if you're like me, you make your coffee first thing in the morning. And before that coffee is completely brewed, you want to grab the pot and pour yourself a cup. Well, there's a little knob in there that will actually stop flow of the coffee. So in turn, it's mistake proofing the coffee pot from spilling coffee all over the place. And the same can be said about when you're filling your gas tank. So you're filling your gas tank, and when you're there at the pump, you're not paying attention, you're listening to music, all of a sudden the pump shuts off because it has reached that point of it understands that the tank is full, time to stop, and therefore it just disengages. So that was another Pokyoke type of mistake proofing. So we are using a lot of the tools. My favorite, I would have to say my favorite is in value stream mapping.
Yes.
And that is because I want to know what I know.
Right.
You know, it's, what do I do? Okay, well, getting back to the scenarios, you know, opening, right? What are my processes in opening? And that once I have the processes that transform, you know, throughout the complete day, I'm able to take a look at that, and I'm able to see, wow, there's about a 15-minute wait time before I can do X. And what can I do to remove or at least reduce or eliminate completely that waste, and then make sure that the flow goes a lot more smooth for the customer. So value stream mapping, I think, is valuable because it kind of teaches you what you're doing. So while you're doing value stream mapping, you're putting down from the larger 20,000 view generic process map, you're actually breaking that down, and you're putting each step and describing what you're doing in that step and the length of time it takes, and also the length of time to when you can actually start the next process in the cycle. So value stream mapping is huge to me because it tells you what I do, how long it takes me to do it, and in the order that it needs to be done to fulfill the needs of the customer.
I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because that is by far my favorite lean tool as well, value stream mapping. And it's actually a nice segue into another question that I want to ask you, and that is, using the WeWork example again, could you kind of walk us through, again, at a very generic, very, very high level, an example of a value stream map? For so many people who are listening to this, and you may not have any background or familiarity with lean whatsoever, a very common concept that we talk about in Lean is, what is your order to delivery process? Because regardless of what your product or your service is, there's a moment where a customer or a client expresses a need for whatever it is that you offer. So what does that process look like from the moment your customer or your client says, hey, I want to do business with you, hey, I want to buy this particular product from you, to the point that you actually deliver that product or service? Could you maybe use, again, going with the WeWork example, or even if you could think of a different example, could you just kind of walk us through, again, at a very high level, what a value stream map might look like?
Sure. I will stay in the same kind of like a WeWork, but let's call it co-working spaces.
Okay.
Co-working spaces comprises of a lot of small businesses. And what the co-working space is there to do is to take care of certain tasks so that the customer or the resident doesn't have any burden with it. So the first thing is that you have to realize that each one of those, and you can have 100 residents inside your co-working space that have actual residential offices there to do their work, and each one wants to feel like they're the only one there, except when there's co-working, community time. they like to engage in, you know, conversations with others. So let's just talk about the opening. So there's a certain time that you have to be there because your hours probably starts at 8:30. So you arrive at 8:10, and first thing you want to do is get the coffee brewing, because that's going to take some time. Everyone that walks in is going to want a cup of coffee, whether it be regular or decaf, so those all have to be up. All the lights have to be on. All the doors have to be unlocked for access, so that when someone walks in, everything is prepared for that day. And that's a very simplistic value stream, but it does take time. It's ensuring that the conference rooms that are already reserved for the day, that they're clean, they've been looked at, and they've been signed off as yes, the conference room is ready, as well as any type of peripherals they may need. You know, if they're running a Mac, for instance, they might need some type of a connection to the Mac instead of an HDMI or whatever. And so the process of opening could be just a 25-minute or a 20-minute process, but there are a lot of different items that they have to ensure are completed in that short time for, here again, the customer to walk in to a place where they feel it's their own office and they're well taken care of. Does that make sense?
That makes a lot of sense to me. And it really speaks to what the show is about itself, because we're talking about curing back office blues. So if I were a customer at a co-working space, I don't have an appreciation for everything that's going on in the background to make my experience pleasant and memorable,
right,
to a point where I would want to continue to patronize that particular co-working space. So I think that's a great example, because it's showing, we often look at things from, as customers, we don't always have an appreciation for the amount of work that goes on behind the curtain, if you will, to make sure that we as a customer, that we do have a really good experience. And I think sometimes, again, putting ourselves back with the, you know, in the business owner role, it's important that we always kind of put ourselves into the shoes of our customers. So to your point, they don't want a lot of waste embedded into a process. Most people now, we're so used to having things quick, fast, and in a hurry, but we still expect for there to be a certain level of quality there as well.
If I could add on to that,
sure.
Well, too, everyone is an individual, and they face different variables, from traffic to waking up late. to their clients, you know, being there early in this coworker space. So example that we were just speaking of. So what ends up happening is that you really set the tone of their day. If they walk in and their conference room is not prepared or their conference room has not been cleaned, there's copies that they need to make to disseminate to the other people that are going to be joining them in the meeting, but the copy paper and the copy machine is empty. Mm-hmm. Little things like that are huge to them. Are their coffee cups cleaned, or are they sitting in the sink and they haven't been in the dishwasher overnight, haven't been put away in a place that they can easily come in as if it's their space, not 100 people's space, but their space, reach up, grab the coffee, pour their guests some coffee, and get started on their meeting. So it's very productive. And you're right, behind the curtain, so much goes on. And if you don't have a process, and you don't have those processes in a, I like it in a visual myself and not a narrative, instead of an SOP, those processes in a visual are easily, you know, you walk through, you check them off, and say that somebody decides that they find a job elsewhere that is doing that work to train someone in all of that area that I just mentioned would be a lot of work for the manager. So in taking a look at that, you also have your educational program already set up on opening.
Unfortunately, we're getting close to time here, and I knew this would happen, so we're definitely going to have you back for several more episodes, I suspect, John. But before we close, I'm curious, is there a list of reputable resources that you can recommend that people can go to learn more about Lean, whether it's certain books? I know you offer courses, certain websites. What resources, in your opinion, do a really good job of educating people who may not have a strong background in Lean about Lean?
Well, I recommend doing the courses. If you can do online courses, you know, we're all busy people. You can learn Lean at your own pace. There are so many books out there, hundreds and hundreds of books that I could reference and go on and on. But it also breaks down by the tools as well and how to, you know, use the tools to really get the most out of them. So I would say that if you were to Google Lean resources or go to Amazon and look at books on Lean, there would be an exhaustive search there for you to be able to select from.
Yeah.
And myself, I offer the courses through my academy. I do offer a free Lean course and a free Scrum course so that people can get a little bit of dip their toe in the water to see what it's about. And then they can move on from there if they decide to join one of the actual courses. And those courses are online, but I also teach them in person as well.
And how can people get in touch with you, John, to find out more about the courses that you offer?
Well, the best way is to go to the Business Camp website, which is www.thebusinesscampwithak.com. And there you will see the consulting that's available as well as the individual courses. To reach me directly, my email address would be the best way at jmkamp@thebusinesscampwithak.com.
Okay, well, John, thank you so much for being on the show today. Really appreciate your time. I know how busy you are, so I definitely thank you for taking time to speak with me and those who are listening. Really appreciate it. If business infrastructure is about setting a foundation to link your people, processes, and tools to your goals in a way that is profitable, scalable, and sustainable, then hopefully it's clear why that foundation is necessary before you can start initiating a methodology like Lean, for example, to make improvements. If you recall, back in episode 7, when I was interviewing Essie Escobedo, she actually said, it would be like trying to improve a home, but there's cracks in the foundation, and you're trying to make improvements to your home without first taking care of the basics, which is the foundation. The same is true with business infrastructure. It's providing you with that foundation. And the things that John was talking about today is really about, okay, now that you have your foundation in place, how can you, in the spirit of continuous improvement, continue to make adjustments to your business in a way that is customer-centric and value-adding? John has given us some great information about using lean principles to improve your back office operations with better people, processes, and tools. I'm going to attempt to quickly recap some of the things that he shared with us today. Lean is not a job killer. It is really about removing as much non-added value waste from your processes and your operations as possible. It's about creating processes that are customer-centric. And some key tools that you can start to use right away are things like value stream maps, which is just a form of process mapping, but it includes times for each activity within that process. And once you know the time that's associated with each activity, you can figure out how to either greatly reduce that time, or it could be that you eliminate certain activities altogether. Some of his other tools that he mentioned that are his favorites are Kanban, as well as Poka-Yoke, which is also known as mistake proofing. If any of the stuff that we talked about today resonates with you, or if you're curious to learn more, I highly recommend you reach out to John. Again, his website is thebusinesscamp.com, and that is camp is spelled with a K, so that's thebusinesscamp.com. You can also email him. Don't forget to download this episode and let us know what you learned and what you found to be helpful by leaving a comment. Be sure to subscribe so that you'll be the first to know when our next episode airs. In the meantime, if you're ready to start implementing business infrastructure in your business, check out a free report I've prepared just for you. It's called How to Use Business Processes to Increase Cash Flow, and it's available at processforcashflow.com. That's processforcashflow.com. As always, you can connect with me on LinkedIn or Twitter. Just look for me under Alicia Butler Pierre. Thank you so much for tuning in. And remember, stay focused, be encouraged. This entrepreneurial journey is a marathon and not a sprint. Until the next time.
Thank you for listening to Business Infrastructure, the podcast about curing back office blues with Alicia Butler-Pierre. If you like what you've heard, do us a favor and subscribe, leave a rating and review, and more importantly, share with your colleagues and team members who could benefit from the information. Join us next week for another episode of Business Infrastructure with Alicia Butler-Pierre.